Let's hear the word of the Lord. It's Ruth chapter 1, 9 to 19. I'm going to start reading from verse 8 to give the introduction. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they have grown? Would ye stay for these from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with him, then she left off speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? May God bless his word to us. That passage was about Naomi and her daughter-in-law. I noticed this morning that there's a notice on this lectern, and it's a tribute to mother's love. I had never seen that before. The second passage is 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 24. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with word or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. May God bless his word to our hearts.
This morning it's rather appropriate that I'm going to speak about the depth of love between two people. And also I'm going to talk about the pain that was involved in this whole of Ruth and Naomi. And It's interesting because this week has been a difficult week, as we've known and we've read in the papers all about what's happening in Norway. But also in Bowness, yesterday was the sad news that Lilius and her team got, that a young 18-year-old girl who comes around the church regularly had died in her sleep. And there was a real sadness, and it was all over Facebook. And Lilius very quickly phoned me and said, I want to open the church. And she opened the church. And yesterday, from about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, right through to midnight and after it, young people have been coming in and out of this church, lighting candles, staying here, praying, writing beautiful little cards for their friend. This place has become for them their home. Lilius is continually telling you this. Some of you older people talk to me about the days when you were never out of this church. Those days are here again. There are young people who are never out of this church. They sometimes are not sitting in the pews on a Sunday and you don't see them, but they're here. There's a whole church going on in this place, and ministry going on, and young people finding God and discovering the Father's love for them. Isn't that wonderful? What I find amazing in the Bible is sometimes in just a few verses, there's packed into it so much sadness and difficulty and pain. If you read at the very beginning of the story of Ruth, these first few verses, it says, and in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. A man. Famine had come. He was struggling. Elimelech was struggling to make ends meet. There was nothing left but to move. It seems distant from us, but if you're in Somalia or in East Africa just now, that's the story. A man in the midst of famine with his wife and two children, not knowing where to turn. And you know something? The law of Moses had told them, don't ever go near the Moabites. Don't get involved with them. But at least the Moabites had food. And the story is that Naomi and her husband took their two sons and they went off to Moab. And the interesting thing is that the people in Moab welcomed them and gave them hospitality and gave them food. But you know, something happened there. It was the saddest thing of all, as the story goes, that Ruth's husband died. And she was on her own, and she had two sons, young sons. And the young sons didn't know where to turn, and they fell in love with two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And there's something about this story, and I think Ruth is looking and seeing the pain that's in Naomi's heart. And Ruth has a love for Naomi. And it's this interesting thing is that so often people pitch mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws against one another as though they can never be good friends. Such rubbish. It is possible. It is possible. And here is an amazing story of two women. Of course, the story goes on that, in fact, Naomi loses her two sons. And these two women who have married, and the Moabite women now are widows as well. And so there are two young widows and an old widow. And they're brokenhearted. It's a sad, sad story. It's so sad. Where do they turn? Because they're widows. And you see, in this culture, as in some cultures in today's world still, you need a husband in order that you can have prosperity, in order that you can be someone. And that's the whole point that Raj makes and other people make about India and other places, about feeding and caring for the widows. Because if there's no one else to do it, who's going to do it but the Christians? And that's why when you hear about the Sangeeta Orphanage, and you hear about what is happening there. Why Grace and Paul are making a difference? Because they've a heart for the widows as well, because they've got nothing. And these three women had nothing, absolutely nothing. And then they hear that things are getting better. And Naomi thinks, maybe I'd be better just to go back to my own people. And she makes her journey back to Bethlehem. And the two daughter-in-laws say, we'll go with you. We'll go with you. And as they start to journey together, the old lady Naomi starts to think, what's the point in this? Why do I bring these two young women with me? They're not going to be accepted in Israel. They're going to be prejudiced against them because they're Moabite women. I'm an outcast myself, she's thinking. I went to Moab and I let my sons get involved with two Moabite women. So do you know what? I'm an outcast and they're never going to accept me. And how can we ever make anything happen? And so she says to them, look, don't come with me. Thank you for coming, but don't come with me. Go back to your own people. You're young enough and you'll find a husband and start a new life without me. And the both of them says, no, no. And then finally Orpah says, okay, I hear what you're saying. I'll do that. But this woman, Ruth, there's something about her. She will not give up on this old woman. She's got a heart for her mother-in-law. She sees her heart has been broken and she's not going to let her go. And there is no other words. I don't think you will find better words anywhere in the world to describe a love story between two women. And that amazing story, and these are wonderful words in the King James Version. Some of you, the older folks, I know you learned it at Sunday school, and you memorized it off by heart. And I remember Eileen Harbison when she used to sit here, and if ever I spoke of this, I could see Eileen memorizing it, because she had memorized it. Entreat me not to leave you, nor to desire from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Your people will be mine. Where you lodge, I will lodge. You know the passage. Amazing passage, beautiful story, and beautiful language. And Ruth brings all this out. And in the King James Version, the story is elaborated with such beauty. Orpah turns away, and Ruth says, I'll never leave you. And where you die, I'll die. You can count on me. You can count on me. And so the story is that the two women go back, and there's another, these wee lines that I find haunting and interesting. It says, and Naomi arrived in Bethlehem, and the people said, is this Naomi? You can imagine Boness, it's the talk of the town. Look at her. We were going through hard times here, it wasn't easy, but do you know what? She left us. Went away to America to seek her fortune. Oh, aye, amongst these Americans and got her sons married an American woman. Who would want to marry these loud, brash American women? I hope there's no Americans looking in. No offense to Americans. It's just an illustration. Oh, no. Who would do that? And now look at her back with her head, her tail between her legs. Look at that. And she expects us to share what we've got with her. Nobody's going to bother about her. And this is an amazing story that's all set up. It's a beautiful story because you see, underneath it all is the question. If you knew the culture, the question is there a redeemer? Could anybody redeem Naomi's life again? And of course, there is a redeemer in the background. In the ancient world, you see, a widow could only have status if she would be accepted into someone else's home. Perhaps someone else would marry her. Perhaps someone would take her. And the nearest kinsman would have that opportunity. But what kinsman would want to be involved with Naomi? Married her sons and Moabite women? And now a Moabite woman's back with her. Nobody will touch her. But the beautiful story is in the background there's a Boaz. There's a Boaz who becomes her redeemer. A man with great heart, a man with generosity, a man who can overlook the Moabite because he sees her beauty. And it's not just the beauty in her face, but it's the beauty of her heart that touches Boaz. And of course, Boaz, you must go and read it, because I can't tell you the whole story, it take too long. You must go back and read it in the Bible. But and it's the love story. And it's amazing to see the insight into it. It says Ruth comes back and she talks to her mother-in-law about this man she's met. And Naomi, you can see the old woman's brain working, and she says, "Don't rush things, my dear. Here's advice for you girls. Here it is. Here's the advice." And this is what Naomi says: "Let him come to you. Don't you run after him. Because if it's of God, he'll come to you." And of course, that's the whole story. Boaz comes and finds Ruth. And the whole thing is brought back into community. Naomi is brought back into community because she has found a redeemer. One who takes her pain. One who gives her life back. And one who gives her daughter-in-law children. And the baby that was born to that daughter-in-law, Ruth, was called Obed. And Obed had a son called Jesse. And Jesse had a son called King David. And down through the generations, King David was to be of the line for the Messiah. And it all came out of the story of a famine. It all came out of a Moabite woman, someone who was broken and had nothing left. That's the great thing about the Bible. It gives us a perspective on things. Some of you this morning, you sit and you look at your life and you see it all broken in front of you. You see there's no hope. It's broken. And God says to you, "That's what you see. But I see a different picture. Because I have a purpose in all of this. And where there is sadness and brokenness and dreams that have never come true, I can make it happen again." And that's the story of the Bible, redemption. And you see, that's why some of you are singing that you believed in the resurrection. "But this I know with all my heart, his death has been my ransom. I don't understand it all." You can say to people, "I don't understand everything about this, but one thing I do, I believe in resurrection. I believe in new beginnings. I believe that it can begin again for me. Because Jesus died and rose again. And Jesus is the Redeemer." Boaz was a Redeemer for Ruth, almost prefiguring Jesus the Redeemer for mankind. This morning, will you see in this story a story of hope for your life? Will you see in this story a story of hope for those who feel broken and lost, and for those who are famine victims? There can be a Redeemer. You see, Boaz was kind because he said to Ruth, "You can glean in my field. Don't go anywhere else." Sometimes when we give money to the poor, we're saying to the poor in our modern world, "You can glean in my field. Go home and look in your bank account this morning and say to someone who's poor, 'You can glean in my field. I'll be your Redeemer.'" Go home and look at someone who's broken and sad and searching for meaning in their life. And look at your spiritual bank account. And look at all that you've learned about God and say to them, you can glean in my spiritual bank account. You don't know it all, you don't understand it all, but I will share what I know of God with you, even if you don't understand it all. You can glean in my life. There was others who could have perhaps been a redeemer, but they chose not to. They chose to keep their fields locked and guarded for themselves and to put the barriers up against the Moabite woman. But the man who opened his heart to the Moabite woman made a difference in the world. That's why that story's in the Bible. We are writing history every moment of our day, and we don't often know it. Go on, open your field for gleaning. You'll be amazed at the amount of gleaning that can go on, and there'll still be plenty for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. A lovely hymn that we're going to sing. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Look, we all know people in need this morning. And we also don't know people who are in need. And I remember trying to get my head around this with my theological, when I was a theological student, and my Professor Sazoulis telling us, it is easy to love the people you know, but it's hard to love people you don't know. But that's what God calls you to do, to love the people you don't know, to love the stranger. That's what makes Christianity so different. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Perhaps there's someone here and you need to let someone serve you. Isn't it funny? The older we get, we say, oh, I don't like that kind of person. I wouldn't want that kind of person serving me. She's kind of rough and ready, isn't she? And you know, that's the person the Lord has sent to you. And sometimes it's the rough and ready person that's the kindest and the sweetest person you'll ever see. You want a sophisticated person, or you won't get a sophisticated person doing what you need done because they think they're too sophisticated. Isn't it funny? There's now as queer as folk. Let's thank God for the people who come and serve, and let's be the serving people as well.